Blog Talk Radio.
Which airs Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And you are listening to Worth Fighting For by Brian Courtney Wilson. So fitting for tonight's episode, War Room, Fighting Relationship Battles with Prayer. And I've invited the perfect guest to talk about the restorative power that prayer has in relationships. Mr. T.C. Stallings, star of the critically acclaimed and one of this year's top grossing films, War Room, joins the program. T.C. Stallings is a former professional athlete now finding success in film and television. After stunning football campaigns in both high school and college, T.C. went on to play professionally in the Arena, Europe, and Canadian leagues. Following his success in athletics, T.C.'s desire shifted to a career in film and television. T.C. auditioned and immediately landed a spot on King of the Jungle. He then landed the role of TJ in the hit movie Courageous, which was his major motion picture debut, following this feat by adding modeling to his resume with Russell Athletic. T.C.'s career reached new heights with his breakout performance as Tony Jordan, a wayward man who cheats in his career and nearly cheats on his wife in this year's hit film War Room. T.C. can also be seen in national TV commercials with Golden Corral, NFL, Sprout TV, and more. He travels the country as a speaker and Christian minister and has been licensed in ministry since 2003. T.C. is married to his college sweetheart, Lavette Stallings. They have two children and make their home in Southern California. T.C., how's it going? I mentioned that you travel across the country, and I believe that you're en route from Southern California to somewhere else right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. You know, always an honor to be asked to be on the show. And, yeah, I'm headed to Connecticut. I'll be speaking at a men's conference, and, you know, we're going to talk about seeking God's purpose for your life first and foremost. So I think every man needs to hear that. Everybody needs to hear that. But it's nice when a bunch of men get together and we just talk about purpose since God has called them to lead. So definitely looking forward to it. And if anybody's the praying kind, I'd appreciate it.
We would definitely be praying for traveling mercies for you. That's what the show is about tonight. And, you know, also, T.C., I hope you're not driving right now.
No. I'm actually at home.
So you're packing. Getting ready.
Yeah. But no, I carved out time for you guys and the show, and you've got my undivided. And I leave out tomorrow morning, and I like to have the day before, you know, away from everything else and to spend with the family. And so that's what I'll be doing tonight.
Fantastic. And, you know, thanks for taking the time to stop by for, again, what will be the final regular episode of Relationships 360. Also, I want to say to you, happy National Clergy Appreciation Month. And I also, you know that your co-star, Priscilla Shearer, who played the prayer warrior wife in War Room, is also a minister. So, happy National Clergy Appreciation Month to both of you.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, Beth Moore as well, and Alex and Stephen, they still, you know, are pastors. And, you know, it's you get a collection of people in that, you know, on set or in any room and on one accord with what, you know, God wants. It makes for a powerful product. And I think that's how you get War Room.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, how well-received the movie has been in just a bit. But I had a couple of questions, you know, about, you know, how you got here, how you actually, you know, got to landing the role in the film. You took a hiatus from acting following college to go play professional football in Europe. Why did you decide to return to acting after leaving football?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I hadn't even really got started yet, you know, with acting. I really don't consider my acting career really starting until, you know, I took the role of TJ in Courageous back in 2010. Up to that point, I had done Animal Planet. It was a reality television show on a family network where if you won, you would be the host of the show. And I did win that show, and I got flown to Australia to shoot my own show. And that's just when the acting bug, like, really, really bit. You know, up until that point, I was doing a lot of plays and just having fun with it. But football truly had always still been, was the number one goal. It was even at that point. As a matter of fact, I was in my third professional season when the idea to try out for Animal Planet came about. So I just did it on a whim. It was the summer. I wasn't playing at the time, and our season was getting ready to start. But I said, let's just see what happens. So I just ended up winning, and in the middle of the season, I went and did the show. So when the reality stuff, you know, the fame kind of just came and went, I immediately, jumped back into playing football, because that was still the true goal, and I was very, very close to getting to the NFL. So, I really hadn't got going just yet.
Okay, and, you know, you're also an ordained minister. You've been ministering since 2000.
Well, license.
Or license.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Different things. Well, can you tell us about your ministry work, what you're doing now, what you're going to Connecticut for? And then I also understand that you're working on a book, or you're close to completion on a book called The Pursuit. So if you can tell us about that as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in 2003, I did as my call to the ministry, and pretty much was just looking to see how the Lord wanted me to use it. At that time, you know, I wasn't sure if I'd work with kids or with adults, or, you know, I just didn't know. All I know is I knew He wanted me to teach Scripture, because I just fell in love with Scripture, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later when we talk about just how I really transitioned and got rolling in my life as a believer. But I began to really, you know, fall in love with all kinds of ministry, whether it's just, you know, speaking to large groups of just everyone, or men, or the college, or the youth. And I really got a chance to work a lot of youth because I was in college, and everybody looked up to the college athlete. And so coming out of college, I had volunteered for places like FCA a lot, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and really enjoyed the impact that you could have on a youngster. And seeing them change their life and follow Christ. So that kind of led to me speaking at a lot of different Christian camps, you know, over the years, and which eventually led to me taking a director of youth ministry position out here in Southern California. And that's what I'm currently doing now, where, you know, I mainly work with junior high students, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And, you know, we have a good time. It's just each week I spend 90% of what I do is working with these students and trying to figure out different and creative ways to keep their attention and teach them some really tough things about the Lord. So I really do enjoy that. And then when I travel the country speaking, which I do quite a bit, I'm going to Connecticut to speak to some men at the Iron Sharpens Iron Men Conference in Danbury. And so I get to do that quite a bit as well. And then when the Lord has led me to write a book about purpose, and I think, you know, we will definitely, I can see us revisiting this topic as we kind of go along, so I won't go too long on it here. But, yes, mm-hmm. It is called The Pursuit, 14 Ways in 14 Days to Passionately Pursue God's Purpose for Your Life. And it basically kind of, you know, in order, tells how I got where I am over the last just 4 years, as the Lord spoke to me about exactly what He wanted me to do. And then in prayer and Scripture, and I share these 14 scriptures that I really focused on, because they're scriptures that deal with God and promise and purpose and how important it is to put Him in front of everything else. That became paramount for me to live out my God-given purpose. And so I tell my story in the book, and then I give then it turns into a 14-day devotional after that to show people, you know, what it means to truly passionately seek your purpose. So God has me all over the place with ministry, I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Well, anywhere that you can get it in. But, why don't we go ahead and delve into your salvation story, if you don't mind sharing that, since you're talking about
sure.
your purpose. I understand that you were involved in, like, a really bad car accident
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's part of it, but, can you kind of talk about your salvation story?
Absolutely. Well, coming up, you know, I grew up in a home where when you get baptized, you do it because everybody else did it. But there was no talk of being a Christ follower. I was a believer. Now, the way I speak right now, I had no clue of these things growing up. You know, everybody at some point at church get baptized, and then you're apparently all right. That's how I understood it. So obviously this is wrong. I didn't know what it truly meant to follow Jesus and, like, do things differently. So I was the same person I was before I got baptized. I just was affirming my belief in God. And so I went all the way to college like that. Now, over time, because I was a decent guy, meaning, you know, I didn't appear to do the wrong things that, you know, people like to do, so people would consider me this good Christian. I carry my Bible around a little bit. I pray when I'm supposed to pray, like when you eat or when you fly in an airplane or whatever the case may be. So I look like a really solid Christian. But when you when you're doing that and you portray that, there's always that real brother or sister on campus that really knows what it's like to follow Jesus, and they see what you're doing. That happened to me. It was a regular student. I'm the top dog at the University of Louisville. I'm a running back, and I'm all over the TV and everything. This kid just stops me and says he wants to study scripture with me. I said, okay, fine. You know, in my mind, I already felt like I knew everything that I needed to know, but, you know, he said he wanted to study with me, so I decided to go ahead and do it. When we did this in my dorm room, he began to show me all of these. Well, first of all, he led off where he hit me right in the mouth with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in this video. If you've ever seen Passion of the Christ, you kind of know what I'm getting at. Passion wasn't out yet, but this was a similar video to that. He showed me that, you know, showed me the crucifixion, just put me right face-to-face with Jesus just to get that heart right. I began to kind of weep, and then he just started showing me scriptures. And he was saying to me, like, you know, TC, everybody looks up to you on campus. I see you at the Bible study, but then I also see you you know, dancing around at these clubs with your fraternity brothers, and the music you listen to is pretty foul. I see you coming out of, you know, movies you shouldn't be coming out of, and I just don't want you to ruin the platform that you have. That's why I'm here. And he showed me all these scriptures that kind of really convicted me and kind of brought back everything that I had learned over the years and put it all in the right perspective for me, that I was a believer, but I wasn't a follower. And for what I began to read in scriptures, believers who aren't followers don't go to heaven. That's what scripture says. And there's a lot of people that will be shocked when they find this out. And I didn't want that to be me because I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't change my life. I didn't let the Holy Spirit lead me. I just believed. And the Bible says that even that Satan knows who God is and believes in him, but he doesn't follow him. And so once I learned that, it was that moment, my sophomore year, that things changed for me and where I became a person that was following, where I would read scripture all the time and obey scripture and let Jesus completely change me and start sacrificing and giving up things. And that's when I start experiencing, you know, the Christian life the way it should be experienced. Now, at this point, this is where I believe and know that God could begin to use me properly. But now he's working on me as a Christian man and has to shape my values and my perspective. So you mentioned a car accident. Just one morning where I got into the habit of just putting off things that I know the Lord probably wanted me to do. You know, you say you're going to go on a mission trip at some point. You're going to do this or that at some point. You're going to, speak at this school at some point. I mean, you put things off because you think you got another day. Well, when this caravan ran through me and nearly knocked my car pretty much apart, knocked me out of the seat, and I almost died in this car crash, I remember asking myself as I walked away from it, I said, if I had died today and came face-to-face with Jesus, would he say, I'm so proud of you for doing exactly what I made you to do. I'm so proud of you for living out your God-given purpose every single day and seeking me for that. I knew he wouldn't say that. And for that reason, because I had never asked him. I was just being a Christian the way I wanted to be a Christian. And so that began me the process of me seeking God's purpose for my life. And that kind of leads into the book that I wrote, you know, about pursuing his purpose above all other things, because you don't know when your time is up. You don't know when you're going to come face-to-face with God. And, you know, the Bible says that he made you with a purpose, and any other pursuit beyond the purpose that God made you for your time on earth is a waste of time. And you can't be following Jesus if you're not living out your God-given purpose. And so that's kind of where I land right now. So I've been a believer for years, but I believe I've been a Christ follower ever since my sophomore year in college. And I've been one ever since, and I'm just seeking my purpose daily.
So the pursuit is your version of purpose-driven life, I guess. And you know, is it finished?
It is absolutely done. It comes out December 1st. You can pre-order it now from my website, www.tcstallings.com, or you can go to Amazon and just type in T.C. Stallings, The Pursuit, 14 Ways, and that'll get you there. But what it is the thing I like about it is it's not opinionated at all. And I love books that you can look at and you can match up with scripture and say, oh, my gosh, this is fact. I just didn't know it was there. And there's no scripture twisting. There's nothing that says you're going to get everything you want. It is going to basically open up. It's going to start out with a scripture, Psalms 139:16, that tells you when God formed you in the womb, he knew you. He made you with a purpose. He says every day of your life, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. When I read that, that changed my life. Because I said, wow, what does that say about my next 30 minutes, my next 3 days, my next 3 weeks, my next 3 years? God has already seen them, and according to his purpose, he's mapped out a way that lines up with the reason he made me, and he wants me to pursue that. But he also has this permissive will where he just takes his hand back and says, if you want to go that way, you go that way, but I'm not blessing that pursuit. I'm blessing this pursuit.
Uh-oh.
And so with that being said, I'm like, how could I possibly go another day without seeking God for his purpose for my life when scripture's here says that he has it for me? And that's one of the 14 scriptures. Then the other 13 kind of show why that pursuit is blessed. You know, scriptures tell you why your pursuit is blessed. And, you know, there's bumps and bruises along this road. But even the bumps and bruises have ordained planning behind it. That's why it says, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, so he might put me in a tough situation, but it's to grow me towards my purpose rather than me going my own way and creating my own issues. Now I'm totally dependent upon just mercy, and I need to be rerouted back to my purpose. So it's
absolutely
a very, very important book. It's not opinionated.
And sometimes,
at
all. You know, the rerouting is, you know, what causes the bumps, you know, and the bruises. Yeah, T.C., let me ask you this. You know, so I love to put relationship tools into the Relationship 360 family's hands. So hopefully you'd be willing to give away a copy to maybe a listener that signs up, you know, for relationships360.com, and we can randomly, you know, choose from the pool of signups and, you know, give one of the books to, you know, that person that we select. Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. We can set something up, and it's a great cause because 20% of what I'm doing, we're trying to send some kids to a Christian camp. But there's a lot of kids I work with that cannot afford to go to camp. So, you know, there's a huge purpose behind this book beyond me. You know, we're hoping that what War Room did for prayer, that the pursuit can do for purpose. Because after people, when they start getting on their knees and they start seeking the Lord, you know, then he has something specific for every single person to do. And I want them to know how to do that. And it is very, very simple because, again, it's not opinion. It is totally what scripture says. And you know, I'm praying that this is just life-changing, you know, just like it did me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, you know, I can, you know, just listening to you talk, I can definitely see why you decided to take on the role of Tony Jordan, you know, the wayward spouse in War Room. I could definitely see that. The Kendrick brothers, you know, Alex and Stephen that you work with had some wonderful things to say, you know, about you. You know, Alex said, as I talked about, you know, who could play Tony Jordan, someone physically impressive and able to act, T.C. was the perfect person. Beginning to end, he is Tony Jordan, and he shows what Tony stands for. And so, you know, I believe that, you know, having seen the film. Yeah, fantastic. How was it for you working with the Kendrick brothers, the makers of the film?
It was fantastic. I mean, it was what I like to call classic Kendrick brothers. You know, I worked with them before on Courageous, and I expected nothing less than what I got, which is just two guys that are just humble. They're respectful of the Lord and just in everything that they do. Just to give an example, when we go to do scenes, rather than just say, okay, we've hired some great actors and we should be fine, it's like, no, we don't care who it is, we're going to pray for the Lord to bless this scene and bless the message that we're trying to sing with this scene. So he depends on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's movement in the scene as opposed to the actor's talent, which is just things like that. I think a lot of people leave with a better sense of themselves in terms of how to relate to the Holy Spirit and how to really follow God and how to be humble. And of course they're fun, and they're the real deal. Whatever people think about the Kendricks, like, are they really that nice? Are they really that kind? Are they? Yeah, they are. They've been my friends ever since 2010, and so it was really, really cool. And the funny thing about it, when you say that they said it, that I was always the one that they wanted to do it. When people watch the Courageous DVD, you'll see us in the outtakes or the extras. We were just doing a funny scene back in, this was 2010 when we shot Courageous. We were doing a funny scene at the end where they were saying, we're thinking about our next film. And they obviously were not thinking about their next film. We were just having fun. They said, we're thinking about our next film, and we need somebody athletic who can pull off some stunts. And so I'm in the background doing a bunch of backflips. And like right now, if you watch Courageous DVD and look at the extras, you can see this. I'm doing all these backflips trying to impress them. And I walk up to them. I say, now I know that was good enough. And they say, let's just talk to this guy over here. And they just leave me standing there. And so it was just for fun. So they act like they ignored me. They weren't going to use me. But they didn't know what they were going to do with the film. And they end up actually needing a black athlete who could do all these stunts and was a man of God. And in 2012, he called me and said, hey, in a few years, we're going to do this film, and we have you in mind to do it. A couple years later, sure enough, they called me and said, you're our guy. So, I mean, there's just integrity, great writers, and they love God. And I think because they love God, they love Jesus, they follow the Holy Spirit, he blesses their work.
Absolutely. And I know, I did reach out to the Kendrick brothers. I would have loved to have heard from them. But they were busy, working on the DVD release. Is it next month or would it be?
I'm not sure. I think towards the end of this year or right at the beginning of next year, I'm not sure. And from what I hear from them, it really truly depends on the success of War Room in the theaters. And it's funny because that keeps changing. I think they keep having a date in mind, but then all of a sudden you guys will all go out and bump
continue
them
to support
back up
the movie. I mean, did you expect War Room to have as much success as it's having? I mean, it was number one for several weeks, knocking off Straight Outta Compton at one point about a month ago. Did you guys expect all of this? Did you pray for this?
That is a funny story. We were at the Atlanta premiere, and we had done all these premieres. The Atlanta one was the last one. And we said to ourselves, all right, guys, let's just be fans of film right now. Let's just what do y'all think this is going to do? And we just started throwing out, numbers, and we were having fun with it. And, we were saying, top 10 obviously would be great. That's always great in any film genre. Top 5 would be amazing, and it is definitely possible because all the rest of the Kendrick brothers at least were 4. They opened 4 and up. So it's like now top 3. That had never been done, so that'd just be great. And the conversation ended right there. We were just like, so top 3 was like the pinnacle of what we thought, what could possibly happen. I don't think anybody thought that number 1 was even on the horizon. And so, to open up as a number 1 new movie and then the very next week go number 1 overall, period, was just, that was mind blowing. And we, we all talk and we text each other, and we were just praising God because it was just, the world just spoke and they said, we like this. And that's just, take all the ministry out of it because it's obvious that we did it for the Lord. But if we can just be human for a moment, we got to say to everybody listening that was just really cool of y'all to go out there and do that, to just say, we want to see this. It's a good film, it isn't just about the Lord, and we'll support anything that's messy and crappy, even if the Lord's in it. You guys said, hey, not only was it honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only was it helped us praise God, not only was the Holy Spirit all over it, it was, you guys actually did a good job, and that felt great. So we got everything out of this, changed lives, you know, great ratings. You know, believers made a statement. You know, a lot of regular people, you know, who may not even be Christian, they still went and saw it and just said, hey, you know, it was a decent film. And so I was really, really pleased and continue to be pleased with the overall, you know, results of War Room.
And what were, like, some of the testimonies? I mentioned, you know, how active you are on your Facebook page. You are very responsive, you know, to the fans, you know, of the film that ask you questions, you know, about the film, that respond to your post and whatnot. What are some of the testimonies that maybe they shared with you that you can share with the Relationships 360 family tonight?
Oh, man, there are so many, and it's funny you say that about, you know, the whole connecting. To me, if I can just be, you know, straight up, the reason I do it now is because you just never know when time won't allow you. Well, not even time. Time's not there now. But my volume, I actually can handle the volume. I don't get a chance to respond to everybody, but I can at least like it and let you know I read it. And I always try to carve out an hour to just sit there and just, like, read through them, because people have real problems. And I just feel like if the Lord has blessed you with a platform that you can actually talk to people clear across the country and in some places outside of the country, you know, you do that. But that's not to knock the people who don't get a chance to respond, because, you know, I got a few thousand, you know, followers or whatever. There's some people with 62 million, and if you say something to one person, you got 61 other million people that
got to hire a team for that, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want nobody talking to my people for me. That's just how I am. I like to do it myself.
So what would
be the most
memorable testimony? Because I want to make sure, you know, that we are able to get dig down deeper into this topic.
Sure.
Before the halfway point here, but one that sticks out to you that you could share and, you know, encourage and inspire our listeners.
One that sticks out is definitely this little kid, actually. It's a little girl who felt like her dad, and I mean little, like 8 years old, felt like her dad was like the guy in the movie, and that she went through everything that little Danielle went through in the movie. And she said, it's been beating her up. And she said she finally knows how to pray about this by watching the movie and watching Danielle. And she feels like she has hope for her family that's struggling with a divorce as she watched this happen, or struggling with the threat of divorce. She was scared. She didn't know what to do. Her parents weren't necessarily teaching her how to pray because they needed it themselves. And she tells me that now all of them are praying. And there's a chance that they will all stay together. And she says, thank you, TC, for changing my life with this film. You know, and you know, she obviously, she's young. She credited me for the whole ball of wax as opposed to, you know, knowing how to credit everybody. So I got her point. But just to hear her say that this film basically gave her the model of how to fix her life. And that's what's cool about this film is that it's based off scripture, things you can really do. And to see people really doing it has been amazing. But
I think she responded to you because, like I said, you're just so engaging and responsive, you know, with your fans. So you're like the spokesperson, you know, for the movie. Not to say, you know, that the other, you know, actors and actresses or parts, members of the cast, you know, aren't as responsive. Yeah, I mean, you know, you were talking with her, engaging with her, so, you know, I think, you know, she just saw you as a spokesperson and the representation of the movie, so that's why she gives the credit to you. But, yeah, that is a fantastic story, and, of course, you know, we're talking about, you know, prayer tonight, but I'd like to know from you, like, what is your definition of a prayer, or what, you know, what component should a prayer consist of?
It's very simple for me, and I talk about it in the book, too, that prayer is talking to the God of the universe, your Savior, and it's really that simple. But the thing is you just got to remember who you're talking to. I mean, you're talking to the person who, if he decides you don't get to breathe, then you stop breathing. You know, that just puts it in perspective, the person who created everything. You know, and it is the means of connecting with this person who is guiding your life, who empowers you to do everything that you're trying to do, who has every answer that you're looking for. You know, and this is your source of wisdom. This is your caretaker. This is your leader. This is your everything. And prayer is simply talking to God about any and everything, and doing it in such a way where you come boldly, but you come out of respect. It's having a holy respect for him and a holy fear for him. But it is literally, quite simply, just talking to him about any and all things. You know, pray continually. You know, 2 Thessalonians, you know, is, or 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. And that's all it is, letting him affect every aspect of your life. And that's simply what prayer is. It is, I mean, I know everybody can say all the different definitions of what it is, so I want to be careful not to say it isn't anything more than that. But I'm saying it's not complicated. If you don't complicate walking up to your father, talking to him about anything, then don't complicate going to God. It's just the only difference is one is God, and there's a respect level that goes there. But that's what it is. It's talking to him.
But you don't necessarily need to. I know in the movie, I mean, of course, the movie's called War Room, so there was a dedicated place where, you know, Elizabeth, who, you know, the your wife in the movie, you know, she pretty much cleaned out a closet, and, you know, she used that as a war room, you know, to pray you, you know, back to God. Because, you know, you were entertaining, you know, having an affair in the movie. So should everyone have a prayer closet? Do you have to pray on your knees? Do you have to lie prostrate on the ground? Is our posture while praying important to God?
Well, here's the deal. When you look in Scripture, there are some things, to answer all of those questions, there are some things that do become have-tos, and there are others that become a matter of your heart. Everyone needs to understand that God judges the heart. Most of the, for example, the Bible says that there's no magic in a room. You know, just because if you get a war room and you walk in there with no faith, with no respect, with no intention, I mean, whatever was happening outside of that war room is going to happen inside of it, which is nothing, because your heart's not right. The whole purpose of the war room is, you know, what Scripture tells you, to go into your inner closet. And it's basically not saying that, like, okay, it has to be a closet. The reason what the Bible is using, as the Bible speaks in metaphors, is to say that place where you can get alone with the Lord and not be distracted from anything else. You know, he wants you to do it in secret and where you're not distracted. And you talk to him, you know, you're one-on-one with him. It's a way to put prayer on the mind. People who have war rooms, this would be the biggest benefit of it. If you were really bad at praying before, whether it's like, I forgot, I didn't have time. Well, when you walk past that designated room that you have for prayer, it will click in your head that you need to pray. And so it helps to bring it to memory. It helps put it as a high priority. It's like I said, I'm a fitness guy, and I know where the gym is, you know, and I have respect for that. And in that room is not my clothing. It's not my car. It's not my video games. It's the weights, because I designated this place for that. And when I go in there, the mood is there, and I have put workouts, and it's the same thing with anything we value. We set aside a place for it. As far as the positioning, you know, if you're a person that, you know, in your heart you struggle with pride and you struggle with respect and you struggle with fear, like you don't have that holy fear of the Lord, you know, you say it, if you struggle with those things, then you need to put yourself in the humblest position possible. And so that's where bending down, it's a show of respect. Any way you can show the Lord respect, you should do it. And
well, the attitude matches, right? And then, you know, you may be able to, you know, pray without having to get on your knees necessarily.
The thing is, the Bible tells you to pray continually. So you may be in a place, you know, you could be in the line about to check out and buy your groceries. And you want the Lord to guide your spending. You know, you want the Lord to be with you in a store. You're not going to just get down on that's
so it's
kind
about
of
the sincerity, you know.
It's about the humility in your heart. You can pray anywhere, at any point, at any time, in any way. But what you can't leave out is the humility, respect, love, and fear of God.
Fantastic. Because, you know, of course, you can do the posturing, you can get on your knees and all of that, and then your attitude, you know, not be right.
Absolutely. You know, and I do get on my knees, but I'm just going to call it weird. I'm not weird to where if I'm in the bank and I'm wondering, like, Lord, I want you to help me with this budget, and I want to throw a quick prayer up to the Lord about help. I may close my eyes, but I may not, but I'm not going to get on my knees in front of the bank teller and say, give me a moment while I check in with the Lord. That's just weird, you know what I mean? But when I'm at home, And I know I'm not showing off, and it's you know, any place where I know the Lord will get the attention and not me, I will go to my knees, and usually that's in private. If I did it out in the parking lot, you know, I don't think the Lord even gets the attention. I think I do, and I don't want the attention. You know, I just want to pray. And so I think if you're humble in heart, the Lord will guide all of that. And don't be the person at church where if you see somebody get on their knees, then you feel like, oh, I'm going to get lower than that person. And you just lay flat on your face. Like, I mean, neither – that kind of stuff there is just the wrong motive. Just make sure your heart's right.
But, you know, in War Room, and I'll pose this question to you, and then I'll take a quick break. We have some listeners on the line that are anxious to speak with you, I'm sure. In War Room, prayer was described as the most effective weapon for fighting against Satan's attacks on us and our relationships, and more specifically marriages, since the movie was about a troubled marriage. Do you agree with this sentiment, and why does Satan attack our relationships and especially marriages? Do you think it's a weapon for fighting against the enemy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because and the reason I agree with it is a very simple and quick analogy. You can have a lot of weapons if you are in the military. And let's say just take a and this is fitting with it being called War Room, because this is kind of where it comes from. You take a soldier who has an AK-47, a grenade launcher, a rocket launcher. There's all these different, you know, weapons, a bulletproof vest. Just got everything. Got the fatigues. Got his night scope goggles. I mean, everything that you could think of, he's got it. And then the enemy is out in the field, and he's with the commander, and the commander has the battle plan. You know, he knows where the enemy is. He's got to share this plan with the soldiers, but the soldiers decide, forget it, we're ready. They just run off into the bushes, and they leave behind their walkie-talkie. You know, that walkie-talkie is the most valuable thing that they left behind, and because that connects them with the commander. The commander knows where the enemy is. The commander knows the battle plan of the enemy and how they're going to attack them. And if you don't talk to the commander, how do you know what to do with all your weapons? You're just a sitting duck, actually, with all your weapons. And that's
how
it is, so when it comes with us in our relationships. And you know, the
no
Lord is so
nothing.
Yeah. I mean, he has a purpose for everybody. He knows everything. He's all-knowing, and he's ready to guide you. He gave you the Holy Spirit so that he could guide you in all that he needs you to do. So you literally want to say, hey, I got a problem here with XYZ. Lord, what should I do? So now you can use your weapons, your smarts, your intellect, your love, your kindness, your niceness, your whatever these powers that you have, your gifts and talents. You're sitting duck without connection with the Holy Spirit into what to do. You may think a love letter. You're a great writer, so you're going to write a love letter to your husband. But he hates it. That didn't fix the problem. So now you feel like a failure. I'm so talented at this, but it didn't work. Well, maybe that's not how the Lord would have had you handle that situation. So you need your marital walkie-talkie, you know. I absolutely believe it's the best weapon. And to answer your other question about why he attacks the marriages, I'll use mine for an example. You know, I've been married, you know, 14 years now, and me and my wife do everything together. We do the ministry together. She's not a minister, but she volunteers and helps me with the kids and everything that I do. You know, when I travel, she goes with me. You know, on the acting side of things, we work together in everything, and we pray together on everything. And if Satan can break that up, then he can have her pursuing something totally different, me pursuing something totally different, and now we're not on one accord. Yeah, we're supposed to be on one accord. And when her agenda clashes, my agenda problem.
Instead of just one, right? When he attacks
marriages. Oh, absolutely. And the things that me and my wife have seen and done together, and all the transformations we have seen because the Lord has called us to do something together. We always look at each other and say, Satan hated that. He would have loved. There's power in us being as tight as we are. You know, me and my family, we walk through the grocery store, and we literally, we get this all the time. Somebody will come up while we're eating, and if this is even before War Room. They don't even know what I do or anything, but they'll just say, you have a beautiful family. And we're like, and sometimes I say, well, you know, how do you mean? They say, well, y'all all just sitting there smiling. You can tell that y'all are really happy. And people go home and they want their families to be like that. We didn't do anything. We were just showing love. And I love my wife. I love my children. And it's a ministry when you walk around like that with so many divorces and dad's not there for the kids or, you know, mom's not there, whatever it is. When you see a family together and you can tell them that y'all all love Jesus, that's a powerful ministry. And Satan don't want to see it happen. So he works to break that up.
All right now. Well, you know, Tony, like I said, I think we have some listeners that are anxious to speak with you. They're holding on the line. So why don't we stop right here for a few minutes, take a quick break while I get them on. And, you know, if you're just joining the show, the dial-in number is 714-409-0610 if you want to speak with T.C. Stallings, the star of the hit film War Room. So, yeah, we'll talk to you guys in a few. Again, the number is 714-409-0610. When we come back, Tony, I want to know from you and our listeners, how do you know prayer works and, furthermore, that God exists? So please think about that for a few minutes, and I'll be right back.
Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Audiences love War Room, the powerful new film about fighting life's battles in prayer. See the film that's inspired more than a million people. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan's marriage is turning into a battle.
There's one thing we do well. It's fight.
And their daughter is caught in the crossfire.
You do not want World War III to break out in your home.
No, I don't.
Until Elizabeth meets Miss Clara.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
And learns that prayer is a powerful weapon.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
A prayer strategy.
I sure could use some of that.
War Room, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, T.C. Stallings, Beth Moore, and Karen Abercrombie.
You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. You need to do your fighting in prayer.
War Room, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now play. Tickets and showtimes at warroomthemovie.com.
Welcome back to Relationships 360 Degrees, Thursday nights at 9 on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Relationships360 and Facebook at www.facebook.com/Relationships360.
Quick break there. Welcome back to Relationships 360. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, your host for tonight's episode, War Room, Fighting Relationship Battles with Prayer. I'm here with the star of what was one of the biggest films of the year, still is, War Room star T.C. Stallings. If you wish to speak with him, now is the time to call in at 714-409-0610. T.C., I want to welcome you back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great. It's been great talking with you.
No problem. I want to go out to area code 816, where we have a listener holding on the line. Welcome to Relationships 360 Degrees. Do you have a comment about tonight's program or a question for T.C.?
Hey, Tiffany, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, do you have a where are you? You're calling from Kansas City, correct?
Not quite. I'm in Denver.
Oh, you're in Denver. Okay, but you're calling from an 816 area code. You know, what's your name?
Kawandra.
Okay. Do you have a comment or a question for T.C.?
Yeah, T.C., I got a question for you.
All right.
What would be your advice for a couple married with kids, different religious backgrounds, trying to bring their kids up in the Christian faith? How would you say, like, the best guidance for them to go about this? You know, one believing this and the other believing this, but together. They pray, they go to church, and all these things.
Right. Well, that's a good question, and that's a really tough situation to be in. And I know for me, I would imagine that, you know, going into that situation, whoever the Christ follower is, and again, I'm obviously going to speak from the perspective of someone that's following Jesus, and I'm thinking, what would Jesus have me to do? I would make my top priority, the Christ follower in this relationship, to listen to him. I would take my focus off my children, off the other spouse who is believing in something else, and I will put it solely on Jesus. And it wouldn't matter how I got in this situation, but I know that God's going to want me to move in a certain direction, and I have to move in that direction and not let the chips fall. And what I mean by that is, the Lord may have, if I'm following Jesus, the Lord's going to shake something up. Like, there's no way he's going to say, like, oh, well, she's trapped, so I'm just not going to do anything, or he's trapped, so I'm not going to do anything. Jesus Christ will lead that follower where they need to go, and they just need to follow completely and then let the fallout following happen. That would be my advice. Once they come to the realization that they need that they don't feel comfortable in the situation that they're in, the Christ follower needs to follow Jesus. That's what I would say, and all the fallout will happen.
Okay.
So thanks, Roger, for calling in. I want to go to another caller, but yeah, I appreciate you supporting the show, and you'll listen to the rest of this program offline.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Welcome. Okay, so I want to go to area code 302 very quickly. Area code 302, do you have a comment or a question for TC tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yep. Oh, yeah, who's calling?
Good evening. My name is Ricardo. I just said that because I wasn't certain if it was me on the line or someone else with a 302 area code. Good evening to the both of you. I'm enjoying the dialogue. I'm absorbing and learning.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Do you have, you know, any comments about, you know, what TC has said, you know, so far? He's been doing a fantastic job. I hardly have to say anything tonight. But, yeah, do you have a comment or, you know, any questions about prayer or, you know, battling for a relationship in prayer?
You know what? I always try to, when I hear a very important dialogue or conversation, I try to think in context to relationships, period, in terms of, you know, there's a big world, and you got all kinds of people out here, and when you go out into the world and you go out to do what you do, you'd be hoping that you can exchange with people who are different and bring value to their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea for me is I always pray to be able to communicate with anyone in a way that they benefit from it. So I'm a walking prayer book. I always pray for the best.
All right, well, you know, we're definitely going to, you know, get into, you know, the effectiveness of prayer. You know, I asked a question before the break, TC, I asked you to think about it, is, you know, how do we know that, you know, prayer is effective? I talked about, you know, the movie basically describing prayer being the most effective tool, you know, for battling Satan, for, you know, a troubled relationship or a relationship that we would like to save. And, Ricardo, I want to thank you for calling in. TC, if you can answer that question, that would be fantastic.
Awesome. Well, it's a simple answer to it. That does not make it easy. I want everybody to understand that. Whenever I say something that is simple, or it's clear, does not mean it's always easy. The answer to this question is is the way you know that God is hearing and he answers prayers is this is something that kind of gets lost in the movie. But one of my favorite things, people ask me, what did I take away from the movie, is that Miss Clara has a wall of remembrance. And you don't want to lose sight. That is a very, very important part of prayer,
mm-hmm.
is remembering the answered ones. And it helps you because when you get in situations where you think the Lord is slow or didn't hear, and you go back to that wall and you got like, you know, 19, 20 different answered prayers that are there, and it reminds you, what about all those times? So the way to know that God is real is you need to start with a prayer. One of my favorite things about my relationship with Jesus is the fact that prayers get answered. And if people ever want to know whether the Lord is real, then start praying because he will answer your prayers. That's how you know he's real. And you continue, and you don't do it one time because the person will say it was a coincidence or a fluke. Continue to pray over and over again about a multitude of different things. And you can't have 50, 60, 70, you know, 1,000 coincidences. This is the Lord speaking. You're praying specifically to him, and he's answering these prayers. And so mm-hmm. answer prayers. It is really that simple. Not always easy to pray and wait, but answer prayers is a way to know that the Lord is hearing them. Just like, isn't it so simple? And I love the simplicity of Scripture. You pray to God, he answers. Therefore, it's real. And I am.
Can I ask you this really quick, TC? Because this is actually something that happened in the movie. Should we pray that bad things happen, let's say, to our spouses, such as, you know, God make them sick or God literally hit them in the head, like, you know, with the ton of bricks or something, so that they repent for any sins they've committed against God or against their spouse or their partner? In War Room, you got sick during a dinner date that you had with another woman, which caused the date to end early before the two of you ended up in bed. This was as a result of Elizabeth, prayers, your wife in the movie, her prayers. So,
right.
I mean, should we be praying the bad things, you know, happen to our spouse?
Right. Absolutely not. And, you know, and even in the film, when you really look at the dialogue, Elizabeth's prayer wasn't even that something bad happens to him. Her actual prayer was, Lord, if he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, don't let him succeed. You know, just don't. And that was the Lord's choice to do. He can stop a man however, or a woman however he wants to stop him. In this case, it was, you know, Tony Jordan getting sick. But you pray for God's will to happen, and you pray for whatever happened that he gives you the strength to deal with it. But certainly, if the desire of your heart is for your spouse to not succeed in doing something sinful, to not succeed in doing something dishonorable, much as it was Tony Jordan getting sick, it could have been, you know, Tony Jordan getting a phone call that needed him to leave or anything. So, you know, she prayed for him not to succeed, and she put it in the Lord's hands. And that's what you do. You know, you pray.
And God knows, you know, how much the spouse can handle, and so he may not allow, you know, the wayward spouse to do a certain thing, because when they do come back home, maybe the other spouse can't handle it. So, yeah, God is definitely all-knowing, for sure. But, you know, some people, they don't believe, you know, that God exists. There are skeptics who believe praying, you know, to a fake or imaginary God is a bunch of hogwash. But, you know, you talked about a wall of remembrance, maybe like a wall of post-it notes, or, you know, papers taped to a wall, you know, with the prayers and the answers to those prayers, you know, written dates those prayers were answered, written on the paper. And so, you know, that is one way to show that, you know, prayer works for sure.
Well, if we're trying to show it to a non-believer, I mean, I was speaking in terms of someone who is seeking prayer for themselves, and they're trying it, and they want to know if it's working.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
one way. But if you're talking about a non-believer who's an onlooker, and you're trying to prove to them that, you know, prayer works, now this is where it just gets into the fruit of your life. You pray, and as the Lord answers your prayer, people need to see this happening. But at the same time, they got to see you living out Scripture as well. Like this, people don't believe in, a lot of reasons people don't believe in answered prayers is because they don't believe in the person praying. They don't believe in the you know, the whole spiritual aspect. They need to see the power of the Holy Spirit in a lived out life, not just in a person's, you know, what they say coming out of their mouth. So it's a complete body of work for a Christian. If I look in scripture and I see what a Christian's supposed to be, and you totally don't match up to it in no way, shape, or form, and then want to tell me that, you know, your Jesus works, or if you tell me that, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he's this, he's that, yet I always see you stressed out and yelling at folks, and that right there discredits your prayers. So we have to live a life that shows that the Holy Spirit is on the inside. And then secondly, you know, we have to, you know, we have to live out these answered prayers for people to see. And as the Holy Spirit moves in a life, onlookers see that. And I know the Holy Spirit will do things that are undeniably of Him, that come directly from Him, and people can see that. And then your life becomes this living, walking testimony. Your life is proof. Him active in your life is proof that He exists. So it's the whole body of work, you know, of a Christian that helps people understand that prayer is real.
Absolutely. And, you know, Satan's going to be upset that, you know, we're talking about this. And so, you know, I'm prepared, you know, for his attacks as well. I'm sure you are, you know, as well. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, about when you were pretty much preparing for a war room and, you know, getting the movie ready, that kind of thing. I wanted to know if, you know, there were noticeable attacks, you know, from Satan on yourself and the rest of the cast while the movie was in production and, you know, since the film, you know, has been released.
Well, for sure. I mean, on set, and this is something we went with Courageous, we want the film to be attackable. If Satan doesn't bother the project, then there's probably he must feel it's no threat, and so not only did we want, you know, and I talk about this a lot about living an attackable life, a life worth attacking. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And why would he do that with something that's not a threat? If anything, if you're not a threat to Satan, you're helping him. So he just walked right on by. Well, he certainly didn't walk right on by the set of War Room, and it's a bunch of different things. You know, you got technical difficulties, this not working, that not working, this location not being available, and this happened on the Courageous as well. And we just simply get excited, and we pray about it, and then the Lord always comes through. It keeps us sharp, keeps us on our knees, keeps us dependent on Him, and never getting fully yourself. You know, when everything is going smooth and everybody thinks all their bright ideas are working, that's when you lose sight of the Lord. And so he kept us on our knees throughout and, you know, kept us humble. And then as for me, as far as my own personal life, I feel like the moment I started chasing my purpose, you know, a few years ago, that, you know, Satan has never stopped attacking. He just continues to stay on the attack because I'm continuing to try and be a threat. And so I think anybody who's being a threat, studying scripture, praying regularly, and living out, you know, what the scripture says to do, you're a threat because people will see the Holy Spirit and they will see that Jesus is real, and that's the last thing he wants. So he stayed on the attack.
And you talked about, you mentioned scripture reading. We've been talking about prayer, of course. But what about fasting? Do you believe it's necessary to fast and pray in certain instances? Especially,
absolutely,
like for things, for example, for like marriage restoration, which, you know, what War Room was about.
Absolutely. And in fact, the key thing that you said is in certain situations. If it's a habit, if it's a ritual, it's just about empty. And I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but you can do anything religiously or ritualistically, like where it's just like, okay, we fast every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, like just because we do it. Like, you know, we just do it.
For those that aren't familiar with fasting, if you can kind of, you know, give a quick, you know, definition of, you know, what fasting is and, you know, what it involves.
So fasting is abstaining from something that you really, really desire. You give it up, and this is a faith move, because obviously you wouldn't do this for something you didn't believe in. And it's something that you really, really, you know, enjoy or, you know, don't like going without, but you do it. And when you get to fulfill that desire, you pray instead, and it just focuses on the Lord. It gets you. It's a really intimate thing, and it really is a faith move, because there's, you know, you don't do that for stuff you don't believe in. So most people do food, for example. They will say, I'm not going to eat for 3 days or 4 days or a week or 2 weeks or a few hours, whatever it is. And when the hunger hits, you will pray and you will seek the Lord. And that is a faith move. So some people fast from, you know, social media or whatever, something you really, really enjoy.
That's hard.
Yeah, I know.
That's actually hard. I mean, I think we've been praying.
Your cell phone. But see, but the thing is when scripture, when you see when people fasted, it was usually a really big problem that they really, really, you know, wanted to seek the Lord for. Like they couldn't, it was something that maybe even felt insurmountable, or it was something that was just really causing a lot of stress. This is a big, and they would fast so they could hear the Lord's voice. That's when I think it should be done. That's when I know it should be done, is when it's purposeful and it has a reason. Not to say I'm holy because I fast every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Like, you know, now again, some people do have fasting schedules and they have the right reason why. They're like, listen, this is the time that I want to choose to go hungry, to let the Lord speak to me, and I'm going to do it every week, Tuesday, 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. For those 6 hours, I'm going to get hungry, but I'm going to pray. Like, they have the right motive behind their schedule, but not the thing to just say, oh, I fast every Tuesday, and they don't even pray about anything. They don't have any issues. They don't have any problems. They don't have any motive. It's just to say that they did it. Then, no, I don't believe in that. But if it's purposeful, it's humble, it has heart behind it, reasoning behind it, and you're truly doing it out of love for the Lord, then absolutely you do it. And I believe that, I know you get blessed because it's a faith move, and God blesses that. Not many people are willing to go without things and make sacrifice.
Yeah, and so, you know, during those times where you're abstaining from, you know, social media or reality TV, that's actually one of my big vices is reality TV. You know, that's the time that, you know, you can talk to God, pray, and, you know, basically, you know, hear from him more clearly because you're not distracted, you know, by these things. And, you know, during that time, he can impart, you know, his wisdom on you in terms of, you know, how to go about handling a situation so that it's more favorable for you or has the effect or impact that you want it to have. Or the changes are made that you need to be made. So, yeah, that's definitely the whole point. So, yeah, thank you for explaining that in terms of, you know, when to fast or add fasting to prayer. It can definitely, you know, make the prayer even more powerful for, you know, big things such as, you know, marriage restoration that we mentioned. And, you know, I only have a couple of questions left about to wrap up the show, but this has to do with the DVD release of War Room. You said that you thought it might be ready by the end of this year, correct?
Yeah, and I don't know absolutely for sure, but, again, it's you guys, and thank you so much for what you're doing out there. The more you guys support it, it kind of stays in theaters longer. More people around the world get to see it. And I think that has a lot to do when the DVD will officially release. So that's why people are careful about throwing out dates. So,
because it's been ready to leave theaters, correct? Or will it be around for a little bit longer?
Oh, it's going to be around for several more weeks.
Fantastic. So, guys, go out,
yeah.
You know, and support the film. And for the holidays,
absolutely,
you know, buy up the DVDs and put it into, you know, the hands of your family and get copies for yourself as well. Fantastic. And, you know, TC, we talked about the huge success of the film at the top of this show. And, you know, with that success, I'm sure you've been approached with many other projects. Can you tell us about, really quickly, about some of those and what's next for your acting career, modeling career, ministry, whatever you want to talk about?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and quite to just get to the cut to the chase, I got like 5 different scripts that came in, but I can tell you right now, obviously some of these people didn't necessarily research, you know, me or who I'm about because of the content. And so they pretty much all got turned down. And that's kind of where I land right there. But there is, there is some exciting things on the horizon, just as some moves that I'm making within my team, you know, as we just continue to get ready for that project that the Lord will want me to take. But right now, there isn't another movie that is being, worked on right now. However, I did shoot a movie called God's Compass literally right after I wrapped on War Room, and it's just the excitement of War Room has kind of taken over, people knowing about this. But once all that dies down, then you will hear about a movie called God's Compass, in which Karen Abercrombie, who plays Miss Clara, plays my mom in this movie.
Oh,
and,
wow.
They're actually putting it, in post-production right now, and it'll probably be, maybe in the spring sometime that you will hear about this next year. I'm already done with that. I finished that up several months ago, actually. But so for me, as I've been kind of having to pass on some of these scripts, it's just been writing. I had been writing The Pursuit and, finally gearing up for that to come out December 1st.
And again, you can get that or purchase it from your website. And a portion of that will go to support some sort of charity of some sort. If you can
time. Yeah, you can go to my website, www.tcstallings.com, or go to Amazon, The Pursuit, 14 Ways. There's a lot of kids that I work with that there's this beautiful camp in California. You Californian to a listener will know all about Hume Lake. Amazing camp. We try to take a bunch of kids there. A lot of them can't afford it all the time. So I'm giving a portion of it to help these kids be able to go to camp. And so I'm really excited about that. It's The Pursuit, and it's going to help a lot of people. My story is what I'm excited about people hearing, because a lot of people can see the end result of my journey. He's in the number one film in America and everything, but the process of hearing the Lord's voice and know that I needed to do it, because I gave up a very successful personal training career in Louisville, Kentucky, 4 years ago. And I had to hear the Lord clearly to know to do that. And I tell a story about how I heard him clearly through prayer, how I heard him, and then started the journey of closing down all of that and going from being well-funded to nearly nothing, coming out here to California, trying to be a Christian in this business. And that's what the book talks about.
Well, God is certainly blessing, and, I want to thank you, TC, for gracing this show with your presence. I look forward to seeing you on the big screen again in the near future. May God bless you, your family, your career, and, of course, your ministry. Have a fantastic weekend, and please do stay on the line for the final couple of minutes of the show.
All right. God bless you all, and thank you for having me.
All right. And Relationship 360 family, thanks for your support over the past 5 years. This is the last regular episode of Relationship 360. Be sure to join me and a host of guests, including past guests, surprise celebrities. Plus, watch out for an exciting announcement of what's next for me and the Relationship 360 brand. The new Relationship 360 website is up, so be sure to check it out. And be sure to sign up for a chance to win a copy of T.C. Stallings' book, The Pursuit. And, that does it for me tonight. I want to send you out with Charles Jenkins' War. I pray it encourages you as you fight to save your relationships. Good night.